This morning, we want to look at a lady's life, a woman's life, in the book of Exodus, second book of your Bible. So, we want to honor those who are called mothers this morning. Not every woman has the calling upon her life, and those who do know the blessings and even the sorrows that can come along with that calling. At times when you listen to Dr. Phil, there are some ladies who should not be mothers. Some people are stuck on themselves and they don't do a very good job at caring for their children. But we should never forget, if it were not for your mom, you wouldn't be here this morning. Okay? So we need to just sort of say, thank you, Mom, for giving me life. Thank you, Mom, for caring for me when I couldn't care for myself. All those bottles that I got fed, all those diapers I had changed. Thank you, Mom, for being there when I got hurt. In our day, it was nothing. We had the old wringer washer. How many had the wringer washers? How many ever got your arm caught in the wringer washer? I think every one of those kids are caught. Yeah. You know, and you think, oh, I'm dead. No, she says, oh, just back it up. Yep. Thank you, Mom, for all the meals cooked for me over the years. Thank you, Mom, for all the loads of laundry you did for me over the years. Thank you, Mom, for going without so there would be money for school clothes and all those kind of things. Thank you, Mom, for being a great example of contentment. Contentment. We didn't have a whole lot. We were farmers in Gladwin there, and my dad worked wherever he could at times just to keep, you know, food on the table for six kids. And one thing, we never complained about what was in front of us to eat. You know, we just never did. Mom was a good cook, but we never complained. And it was just always interesting that, you know, there seemed to be a contentment. My dad got into this Amish hauling. And he would go to Indiana, and there was a certain place in Indiana he just loved because they had canned goods for real cheap without any labels on them. So him and Mom would have mystery dinners. You know, you open the can and whatever you got, you got. But it was just sort of, and she was content with that. We worked probably without hot water heater for a number of years. We just always heated water, washed up that way. Just, you know, it was nothing bad, but it was just, and she was willing to work with that. I saw at times where she hung clothes on the line and they came in like frozen boards. You know? And yet, you know, she worked with all those kind of things, and you start to, that's part of you. And your mom is a part of you. And you are who you are today because of her. You know? So let's be grateful for the moms of her life. There was commitment. You know, my mom was committed to my dad, and I'm grateful for that. There was kindness in our house. And I just appreciate those things. Parenting means being there. As a parent, setting an example for how you would want them to live. Children probably catch more than they are taught even. They always say you can even be taught or caught, you know, and they catch on, you know. If parents are disrespectful, children will catch that. They'll be disrespectful. If parents are gracious, children will reflect that as well. This morning we want to look at the life of a woman named Jochebed. Her account is found over in the book of Exodus. And we need to remind ourselves that in the book of Exodus, the children of Israel have left the promised land. 70 of them have made their way down into Egypt because Joseph has gone ahead and he has basically spared this world because of the famine. And now there are people that are multiplying. And the Jewish nation, the Israelite nation is just growing like wildfire. And there comes a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And as a result of that, he looks at the Israelites as being a threat. These people are a big conglomeration of people. If they join up with our enemies, we're in trouble. So he starts to do what? He starts his own population control. Okay? And so he said, Luke, there's somebody outside the door, if you would. So we find that he gives this in chapter 1, verse 22. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months, but when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Lord, we pray that you would help us as we look at this lady's life, and that you might also challenge each mom who especially has the little children yet, and maybe even us that have grandchildren, that we might realize that we have a responsibility. And we pray that you might just, speak to our lives. We pray these things in your name. Amen. This morning, once again, we want to look at this lady's life. We know from another place she's named Jochebed. We find here that this rule comes out that you have to throw all the baby boys into the river. We find that in the book of Hebrews, Moses' parents, it says by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, I've looked at this word in the Hebrew a couple times this week. It's just the word for good. He was a good child. I don't know what that actually meant, but somehow for Jochebed, when she saw Moses, she said, hey, this is worth risking our lives for. And mothers today, as far as I know, mothers today do not have to worry about Pharaoh throwing your kid into the river. Okay? But there are still dangers children need to be protected from. Mothers still need to be bold, as Jochebed was, and even hide their children as long as they can from some of the negative influences in our society. Now, things have changed since I was a youngster. I believe cartoons have changed. You know, man, we used to love the Roadrunner and Bugs Bunny and Porky Pig. Oh, I mean, we loved, my dad would crack up laughing. I watched a few today and I wonder what in the world is going on with cartoons today. You know? I don't, I'm not sure. Are your kids, can they now watch SpongeBob SquarePants? No. My daughter says SpongeBob SquarePants, and that's foreign for a lot of you folks, but I'll ask my daughter, why don't you let your kids watch that? Okay. And that attitude creeps. Okay. So it creeps right back into the house a little bit. There's other cartoons that are out there. Some of them, some of them are just not what you want your kids to be watching. So parents at times hide them from those kind of things. I think we live in the day, there's no way you're pretty well be able to escape the internet. It's almost impossible to escape the internet. If they're not using it at home, they will be using it at school. So they're going to be introduced to the computers. They're going to be introduced to the internet. Now, most of us know that the internet can be the best thing in the world, or it can be one of the vices of sin in your life. And it doesn't take much. Just click on the wrong buttons and get in the wrong places. Plus, when it comes to trusting people, who would have thought that even last week, and the church in Port Huron would have an issue with one of their counselors being involved in trying to solicit children over the internet? We live in a day where you better hide your children from some wrong, but educate them. Hey, not everything you see coming across the internet is real. That person on the other end may be a criminal. So somehow you need to be able to be concerned for them. And Jochebed was concerned. Hey, I've got to protect my son from the mandate of the king. I'm willing to risk my life to protect him. And there's times where we need to do that. Some other things going on today. Parents, you gotta know what's going on that phone. Now once again, you just need to buy your kids a flip phone. They can't do anything with it. I get one letter at a time doesn't do a lot of texting in life, okay? But when you start getting people passing pictures, selfies, and there are once that selfie of a pretty risque picture goes out, it can go nationwide. You better teach your children, hey, be careful of what you share. Be careful of what you're getting involved in. The sexting you hear about at times is something you need to protect your child from. Another one. I'm not a. Once again, my idea of video games would be Mario Brothers. Okay. I have a hard time with people getting involved with Grand Theft Auto, where you're shooting people. I have a hard time with Tour Duty. I know it's about war and such, but to always have to have people shooting and seeing blood and things like that, I would say these are things that I'd like to hold away from my children. They're gonna be exposed to them. My son one time went over to a birthday party at his friend's house, and I got a call, and they says, I don't know what's going on with your son, but he's just really throwing a fit. And what they had done is they had showed a movie that was, I think it was almost like an R movie. And we had always taught our kids, hey, we don't watch those kind of movies. So I think our son was just plumb acting up because he knew he wasn't supposed to be there. You know? And somehow you train your children, hey, this is right. This is what we accept. I've had, you know, issues with my grandson before. He comes to my house and all of a sudden a word comes out of his mouth and I say, hey, Grandpa doesn't talk that way and I don't expect to hear it the rest of the weekend. You know? And I think sometimes we need to be willing to say, hey, this is how we put it. Well, Jochebed, she is willing to stand up. Moses' mother did what she was able to do. And another thing that we find here, I always liked about, she was brave, but she also used ingenuity. And there's times where you need to use, ladies, moms, you use ingenuity to try to say, hey, how can I get the things of God's Word into the minds of my children? Not every time do they want to go to Sunday school. You know? But there's things that you can do. Deuteronomy says it this way. Those early years are very important, by the way, so try to work at them when they're little. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Okay, moms, it starts with you. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. Now, once again, I don't know if we have to always say, well, I gotta be carrying a box of verses on my head like some of the Jewish people did. I would like to say, hide God's Word in your mind and it will impact how you reach your children, okay? A lot will be caught instead of taught as your children see how you interact with them. So Jochebed is brave. She takes her stand against the things of the world going on at that time. You need to be brave and be willing to say, hey, there's certain things my kids don't need to be exposed to at this time in their life. She had ingenuity. She makes a little boat and makes it so it floats and everything else. But when it comes to it, it says here, she hid him for 3 months, but when she could hide him no longer. I was over to Sunrise Apartments the other day doing a devotional with the ladies that come there on Friday morning. And I says, hey, what ladies? All your moms, what was the hardest thing about being a mom? And she said, and most of them says, having to let your children go. You know? Having to let them go. And some of that is, you know, kindergarten as they get on the bus for the first time. But then, especially some of those, having to let my son go to Afghanistan, where I knew there was the possibility he might not come back. You know? And so here's Jochebed's heart. I've tried to protect him for 3 months, but it's not going to work very much longer. I've got to let him go. And at that point, Moses' mother did what she was able to do, and then she had to trust God to do his part. And if that could be an echo to any mom here still working with your kids, make sure you're doing your part, but then let God do his. Have you dedicated those children to the Lord? I think that's important. Mothers face many heartaches in life, and one of them is let that child go. Few will be asked by God to let their children go as Moses' mother did, but every mother will eventually have to let them go. Think about the mother whose son is serving in the country where there's a possibility of hostile areas. A mother's faith will be strengthened when she has to release her hold on her children. as they can do for children, then they can pray that God's will guide and protect them. And I like that verse. I think as you start to do this, you're able to say that verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I know there's times where we wonder, man, I don't see my kid living the way. He's not living Sunday school style. But I like to tell you, I don't think he's forgot what was influenced upon his life. One of the ladies over to Sunrise, she says, one of my sons gave us the hardest time. And he really wanted just to leave. And so he left. But then he came back. And one of the most encouraging things in my life was when I looked at the front seat of his car was to see a Bible sitting next to him. He says, God got a hold of his life when he was gone. You know? And he's one of the sweetest sons you could ever have today. I think we always need to be willing to say, Lord, here's my child. I put him in your hands. Lord, I tried to do, and you know, once again, ups and downs, none of us are perfect in our raising of children. My daughter would be the first to say, Dad, you're crinkling! As I used to get mad. Yeah. But I pray that we might realize that we do our part and then we hand them over to God and He does His part. And wow, what a part He does in this passage of Scripture. Who would have thunk? You know, I don't think Jochebed had in mind even what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, we find here, Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. Now, I gotta assume that she had seen other babies bobbling in the river. But somehow, God touched her heart that day. And as a result of that, she says, and then here's the older sister of Moses. Hey, would you like us to do this for, get a nurse for this baby? And I think God has a sense of humor when he says, take this baby and nurse it and I'll pay you for it. Yeah. All of a sudden, this mom was getting wages to raise her own children. And then what happens during that time? What happens with a Jochebed who has a Moses for just, we don't know how long it takes to wean. They say sometimes it took a while to wean a baby back in those days. But she had him during those early years. And Jochebed could share with little Moses about God. She could share with him about being an Israelite. And somehow, even as a little child, she was able to instill within him some of the truths that she wanted him to know. As a result of the faith of Moses' mother and trusting on, she had the joy of watching him grow up with the special circumstances God had planned for his life. And then one of the things, Jochebed trusted God. She was faithful and God used her faithfulness. Most of the time she could not see the fruit of her prayers and had to just trust God. Sometimes present circumstances make it hard to see into the future. I don't see how my son's gonna work this all out. Remember, you let go. You let go. Now it's God's turn. And we pray that we might learn to do that way. She had another reward. A reward for her faith was that she saw her son grow up to have the same kind of faith. And I pray that we might continue to see other young people to take hold of the truths of this book and claim them for themselves. And I pray that we might see that as they continue to grow. And then last, we know that faith is not inherited. Each of us must come to the Lord in faith and receive salvation individually. Oh, we'd love to be able to pray the prayer for our children. Oh Lord, I want you to save my child. No, each of us individually need to have this relationship with God and learn to trust Him. But we as parents get to stand back and say, Lord, I've tried to share with them that I love you. I've tried to share with them that we need to live for you. Now, Lord, it's come to the place where I need to hand them over to you. Because